The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Say good morning to your neighbor to the left and to the right. All right. So God will do it again. Fast will begin on the 1st of December. Hallelujah. And on the 21st of December, we'll have our third God Will Do It Again service for this year, 2025. What's the theme? Already opened. Already opened. Hallelujah. And we are trusting that God will do what only He can do in our lives and in our situations. Today, we continue in our series, Do You Know Him? Do you know Him? And we are looking at the price of knowing Him. So let's humble our hearts as we receive with meekness the engrafted word of God that is able to save us and give us an inheritance among them that are sanctified. God bless you.
The price of knowing Him.
Holy words, long preserved for our world in this world, we sound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart words of
our texts remain Philippians 3:10 and Luke 9:23. Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Luke 9:23. If anyone desires to come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. How many times, how often should he take up his cross? Daily. Follow me. So we started by knowing God, knowing about Him versus knowing Him last week. And we said a lot of things that I'm praying that we become flesh in us in the name of Jesus. And we established that there's a difference between being familiar with God and truly knowing God. There's a difference between, oh, this is what my pastor said. A lot of Christians are, oh, this is what my pastor said. Or this is what the prophet said. Or this is, no, what is God saying to you? Hey, but my pastor said it. My pastor must have heard from God. So that means that's what God is saying. Or this is what I've heard preached. Or some even go further by saying, oh, I read this in the Bible. So again, please watch it again so that the word will become flesh. Everyone wants to know the power of his resurrection. Everyone. The reason the prayer meetings that are being attended is simple. Everyone wants to know the power of his resurrection. The reason people are forwarding links, oh, join this prayer meeting, oh, join our prayer meeting, is simple. Everyone wants to know the power of his resurrection. But few are willing to share the fellowship of his suffering. Few are willing to walk the steps that he has said, if you want to follow me, this is what you should. You know that I don't want that. Just bless me. The danger in that is that people will seek the blessings and ignore the blesser. I mean, to bring that home for us to, I mean, relate. Imagine you are married and you're a man and your wife is only interested in your credit card when she wants to go shopping. That's all she's interested in. You are talking to her, she doesn't want to listen. Or your husband is just interested in the other room, the sausage, doesn't want to have a relationship with you. We don't like that. I've not seen a man that is excited at his wife that is only interested in his resources, in his money. I've not seen a woman that is interested in a man that's only interested in her, in the bed. Yet, for some strange reason, we treat God like that. Some people are more interested in typing amen in the comment section. Amen, amen. They are sleeping. Amen, amen. You don't know him. You're not seeking him. You have an opportunity to, you drop it. So we love the glory of knowing Christ, but we avoid the grind of following him. Knowing Jesus, knowing him is not cheap. It costs something. What does it cost? I mean, I could bring it home. What does it cost? It's going to cost you three things. It's going to cost you your comfort. Everybody say comfort. It's going to cost you your pride. Everybody say pride. And it's going to cost you your control. Everybody say control. The CPC of following Christ. It's going to cost you your comfort. It's going to cost you your pride. It's going to cost you your control. Years ago, true life story, there was a pastor that preached a sermon about surrendering to Jesus and following Jesus. And a man, a wealthy businessman, came to him and said, oh, great sermon, pastor. Now I just want to follow Jesus. So the pastor says, oh, fantastic. So the things went by. And when everybody was about to go home, the pastor says, wait, everybody. Tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., we have evangelism in church. We need to go and reach people for Jesus. We need to go into the interlands and preach the gospel. And the businessman came to the pastor discreetly. I said, pastor, We have to go to work tomorrow. I have to be at work. That's how I make this bread that I give offering. The pastor smiled and said, there's no evangelism tomorrow. I just wanted to show you that you have not actually surrendered to Jesus. Praise the Lord. And many times we think that it's the excuse we've brought is okay. It's okay, but because if I don't make the bread, how will I give the offering? And the church needs the offering to do the work of the ministry. So pastor cannot be asking me to come for evangelism on Monday morning when I should be making some cool cash. But pastor wasn't. Pastor was just showing you that if it means sacrificing that to win a soul for Jesus, if you have surrendered, you will show up without question. It shows you have not surrendered. What's the first C? Comfort. What's the second P? The P, your pride. And what's the second C? Control. 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 And this message is for all of us. Because as long as you are in this flesh, you will have to deal with your comfort, your pride, and your control. It's not a message that pastor is preaching. It's a message that pastor is preaching to himself. Paul says, I die daily. I, Paul, die daily. I have to die daily. So we see that knowing Christ deeply will cost you dearly. But the reward of intimacy far outweighs the price of surrender. The reward of intimacy far outweighs the price of surrender. It does. We're going to breeze through four thoughts, main thoughts of this teaching. The first is that the depth of relationship determines the cost of revelation. The depth of relationship determines the costs of revelation. Exodus 33, verse 18 to 20. Moses responded, "Then show me your glorious presence." The Lord replied, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will call out my name, Yahweh, before you. For I will show mercy to whom anyone I choose, and I will show compassion to anyone I choose." I pray that it will please God to show you mercy. It will please Him to show you compassion in the name of Jesus. But you may not look directly at my face. And here's the kicker. For no one may see my face, may see me and live. Moses wanted to see God. God warned him and says, "You cannot see my face and live." What is that saying? What does that mean to you and I? The closer you get to Him, the more you must die to yourself. The closer you get to Him, the more you must die to yourself. Do you know Him? Yes, pastor, I want to know Him. If I say show by raise of hands, how many people really want to know God? I am confident that everybody's hands will go up. This is God's free house. Say, pastor, how are you sure? Some people don't know what to do God. They're not here. Everybody here, everybody online. I'm confident about that. The closer you get to Him, the more you must die to yourself. Revelation is expensive and it demands consecration. I only say revelation, I talk about, you see, it means but goes beyond opening the word and seeing things in the word. But you see, it goes beyond that because seeing things in the word is all some people know as revelation. Oh, I have a revelation of John 3:16, and they shared powerful revelation. Oh, that's powerful. But you don't know Him. The revelation of which we are talking about this morning is the revelation of knowing him that is behind the word, knowing him. And when God begins to bring you into those things, one of the key things that we notice about you is that your boastings decrease. We will see it. You're still full of yourself. You're still arrogant. You're still talking down on people. You're still, you know. We know how far you are from God. One of the things that we see, your boastings decrease. Your boastings decrease. You know, I was online, you know, I was seeing some feeds, you know, because I watch a lot of teachings of other people. I enjoy other people's teachings, the people that really know God. I listen to a lot of Miles Monroe's teaching, you know, because I don't think a lot of people understand how that guy's mind works, you know, it's an enigma. Anyway, but I still see some feeds that are ridiculous, you know. One of the feeds I saw, if you saw it, I'm not picking out anybody, I'm not responding to anybody. You know, that's one thing about social media now. Oh, this pastor responded to this pastor. No, we are not, I'm not interested in that. but it's ridiculous to me. The feed was like, the man was saying, there was an emergency meeting in heaven, and they called him to an emergency meeting in heaven with Peter and the cherubims. I'm like, the people that they invite are not able to talk. Paul says, there are some things I cannot even say because they are lawful. There are some things that die with you. They die with you. You've experienced them in God, but they must go down with you. If you are took, chop. Gabriel came. Then Peter came. I'm like, dude. And I'm not even able to say that God didn't invite him to heaven. I'm unable to say that. Because I'm not in the counsel of God. But there are some things that we will see and we will know. Praise the name of the Lord. Diamonds are formed under pressure and heat. You can't see his glory without surrendering your story. You can't see his glory without surrendering your story. If it's still all about your story, it's questionable if you have still glory. And the more we press into God, the more we die to ourselves. You know, James was talking about even basic things. He says, your brother has come to you. He has a need. You have yam in the house. This is me bringing it down. And you have tubers of yam in a home. And your brother is saying, I am hungry. And you say, oh, God bless you. Oh, heaven, we answer you. Oh, the light will shine on your path. Oh! It is well, bro. You pat him on the back, you open the door, and you let him go. God is saying, how dwelleth the love of God in you? We misinterpret scripture to think that the love of God is in me because I've prayed a powerful prayer with him. God is saying, no, the love of God is in you if you must pray the prayer, finish the prayer, but go inside and bring one out of your 25 tubers of yam and give him so that he can eat. Basic things like that. They're so basic. They're elementary, actually. But it's interesting that we struggle with those things, but yet we want to speak great and mighty things that are flamboyant. Philippians 3:10, Paul was saying, and the fellowship of his suffering, and it's the fellowship of his suffering. Fellowship of suffering. You can't know him and his power if you reject him. is pain.
I know it's not a popular thing to say, to preach. I know it's the popular thing is that 3 days of miracles, 24-hour miracle. And praise God for that. Everybody say hallelujah.
Yeah. If you are with us, been with us for a while, we there's a service we do, and we're going to do this year also towards the end of the year. We do it with the last GWDIA, and it's a point of contact service, right?
Where, I mean, people that have brought key holders today, they own estates. People that have brought baby clothes, today they have children. So God does amazing things. You see, and so Pastor, so what is there a contradiction? There is no contradiction. One thing about God that you need to realize is that sometimes some people, the time is now for you to get in, but you are being resisted. So those services are necessary to break down the resistance. Daniel was praying 21 days. From day one, heaven answered, but there was a prince that resisted it. They have to pray through. So some people are in overtime. Those kind of services are needed for us to pull together and break that chain. Some people are being haunted by things that they have no business with. Those services are necessary. But guess what? One of the things that troubled me earlier on when we started the God Willing service, which is over 20 years ago, if I'm correct, was that after the God Willing service, I was burdened by people that I know needed healing but were not healed. I was burdened by people that I know needed a miracle but did not receive the miracle. So I said to God, I'm not going to do this thing again because it's as if I'm deceiving people. In fact, no, I did say to God, I remember how it happened. I was lying down in my office after praying in my office. I was lying down under my table and the enemy said to me, why are you deceiving people? I actually believed it. And he was showing me people that, maybe this one came, did anything happen? This one came, did anything happen? I said, I don't want to deceive people. So I went to God, I said, I'm not doing this thing again. I'm not, because I don't want to be a hypocrite deceiving people. But God, you know, delivered me from that experience and showed me that, what about this one? There was a man that came to, for 19 years, his eyes was bad. As he came, God gave us a word of knowledge. This eye will be opened. He came to church the following day without his glasses. Eyes healed completely. He says, what about that one? What about this one? What about that one? So because of those that are going to be healed, we continue to have it. But we don't want it to be presented as though God is your houseboy. And God will give us understanding in the name of Jesus. The fire is required. And it is sometimes for, it's not many times for us. Any fire you have is permitted in your life, look at it. If you sit with God, there's a revelation of the fourth man in that fire. And the similitude of that man is like that of the Son of God. What fire are you going through? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego showed us that. So you can't walk in resurrection power if you run from crucifixion moments. You can't walk in resurrection power until you walk in crucifixion. And crucifixion moments can be as simple as give one of your 25 tubers of yam to your brother that is hungry. For some people, that is the crucifixion moment. It's basic. Yet for another, a crucifixion movement, this is A levels now, will it be God saying to you, I can heal that, but I will not for, I won't even say for now, because my grace is sufficient for you. There's a turn in my flesh. I've gone to God. Paul was saying, 3 times he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. That's A levels. And in between is everything else. Is everything else. The crucifixion moment in between
is everything else. From going in and giving that to your brother or sister, that tuba of yam out of your 25, to God saying to you, this thorn, it's okay. I'm aware, but I'm not going to take it out. But God, people are abusing me because of the thorn. God says it's okay. God, people are saying, where is your God? Because of this thorn in my flesh. Where is your, these are people, they think that when, because people are saying, where is your God? God will be removed. No, he's God. Since God, people are saying, where is my God? Show your power. And God says, I'm not. I don't need to prove myself to anybody. I'm God by myself. And those are the things. So number one, the depth of the relationship determines the cost of the relationship. Number two, to know him is to lose you. To, you know, and this is, again, you know, like we said last week, it's a word by the grace of God that you have to listen to again and again. To know him is to lose you. Matthew 16:24-25, and then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Everybody say your own way. We all have our own ways. We have our preferences, which constitutes our ego, our pride. You have to give up your own way. Take up your cross, and that's what she says daily, the one we read earlier, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. If you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. So ask yourself, am I hanging on to my life? Or am I giving it up for his sake? Like I said, very unpopular teaching today. Very unpopular. But that's what we are going to teach. Because that's what we need to teach. That's what God requires for us to teach. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The CPC that you need to let go of. The first is what? What's the C? Your comfort. The second is what? Your pride. The third is what? Your control. You want to control everything. So people even want to control their children's destiny from birth to grave. Lose. You have to trust Christ with your children. You have to trust them. You have to give them to him and leave them there. And many times we give them to him and we go back and we take them back. They say, okay, God, I give them back. Then I take them back. So I give them to you. I take them back. We have to. So, Pastor, what are you saying? What we are saying is that the true knowledge of God requires death to self. Paul said, I die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31. For your reference, you can read that when you get home. And your journey, and we don't like that. We don't like that. Someone says, a man says to me, I gave her a dirty slap because he said, Pastor, I have my ego. And this woman was rubbishing my ego. So I gave her a dirty slap. I said to him, I am not advocating for wives to be rubbishing the ego of their husbands. But I said to him, when they rubbish your ego, you die to yourself. It's an opportunity for you to what? Die to yourself. Oh! So wives should go home and say to their wives, tell their husband, have you heard Pastor today? You need to die, and I'm the instrument of what? No. I'm sure you godly women won't do that. And the converse is also true. When you are married to a man, his words are heavy. And when your husband always cuts you short with it, with his words, chat, 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 matches you. You feel less than a human being. So what do? Fight or flight? And there's nowhere to fly to. So what do? You fight. What is God saying to you? Your husband has given you those cutting remarks. Die to yourself. Again, that's not for husbands to say. When to their wives, maybe you hear, you have to die. And it is my words. No, that is not a man that is following God. But if that is the case, you have to. Why am I bringing out these examples? Because if we just preach this word and you cannot relate it back to your home and your life, it may mean nothing. Praise the name of the Lord. And it's daily. It's daily. It's daily. A man said to me once, Pastor, I know that if I do this thing, they are going to come and report me to you. I said, what? He said to me, Pastor, just one sounding, let me give her. One! Just one sounding. Pwah! She'll be okay. And her marriage will be all right. I said, you cannot do that. He says, I knew you were going to say that. Let me give her one. It's an opportunity for you to what? Die. Everyone say die. So the cross is not a jury. The cross is your story. The cross is not a jury. It's your story. It's your journey. The cross is your journey. And it's okay for you to wear the crucifix, but let it speak to you. John the Baptist said in John 3:30, and he puts it in a way that we all can relate to. He says that, John the Baptist says that he must increase and I must what? Decrease. The more he increases in your life, the more you must decrease. So the sticky line here is that intimacy with God requires the extinction of ego. And, unfortunately, over the years, men has been associated with ego. And it's like, oh, the man has ego. But, as pastoring for, over 20 years, I can say to you without any contradiction that the woman also has ego. Oh, yeah. I used to think it was the man's property. Until I started pastoring, I was hearing all sorts of stories. And, this is ego now. You people, you have it. We all do. And to some healthy ways, it's a healthy self-respect. And that is fine. But you see, when it begins to get in the way, it's a problem. So number one, depth of relations, definitely the cost of revelations. To know him is to lose you. Number three, knowing him may cost you the crowd. Knowing him may cost you the crowd. There have been moments of decisions in my life that I have asked the Lord, okay, what am I to do? Is this okay for me to do? And he says, go ahead, but it's aligned with my plans for you. But now listen to this. He would say to me then that, but some people will never forgive you if you do it. And I would say, okay, but you are okay with it. And he said, yes. He says, but if you do it, I want you to know that they will never align with you. I'm like, how is that even possible? These are spiritual people. They will align. For where? Let me give you an example. God said to me over and over and over again since 2016 or 2017, you're not the pastor, you're an apostle, you're not the pastor, you're an apostle. I said, okay, fine. whatever that means, I don't know. I continue to pastor. After a while, he says, okay, your assignment here, pastoral assignment here is over. You get up, you're going to Dallas. And I said, oh, God said, this is it. I'm going to Dallas. I'm living here. There's some people in the HQ church that say, no, you're not going anywhere. You are here. You are our pastor. I'm like, don't you understand? You've been with me for so long. Do I say God said jokingly? They said, no. We know you hear from God. Hey, but I'm telling you, this is the next step. They said, one man said to me, I want you to know, if you leave, I'm out of this church. And I left, and he's out of the church. He left with his family. And I began to understand when God said, the fact that you obey God does not mean everybody will align with you. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, yes. I mean, in fact, this for those that are pastors, I mean, this make more sense that you will lose people, right? We understand that. But those of us that are not pastors, you need to understand that you will also lose people if knowing him will cost you the crowd. And there are other decisions like that, that I'm sure this is what God wants me to do. I said, if you do it, this is the repercussion. And my own is, are you there? And he says, yes. I'm like, okay, let's go. But the repercussions are not funny. Because as a pastor, every church is built by men, by some men, right? So there are certain people that they support you, and they support the work, even financially. But when they say we are going to go, you need to decide who has called you, God or them. Then you go with God, and they all go. But the church is still standing. Praise the name of the Lord. In fact, the reach of the church, I think I did the analysis at the Thanksgiving, three times or five times more from then to now. John 6:6. From that time, many of his disciples, they were his disciples. These were not people that were strangers. These were not people that were not called to him. They were his disciples. They went back and walked with him no more. This guy is crazy. The closer you get to Jesus, the smaller your circle will become. Take it to the bank. Take it to the bank. Jesus lost followers when he started talking about the cost of following him. That was it. If you look at that sermon he preached, it was just the cost of following him. Except you eat the flesh of Son of Man. He said, it's the cost of following him. They're like, sorry. And they packed their bags and left. There are people that would say, Pastor, you must do it this way. If you don't do it this way, we will not cooperate with you. And I'm like, okay. I'm actually used to it. I use them to practice. I use them to practice, you know. I'm like, okay. Even in the little things, so that in the big things, I'm still able to want to align with God regardless of what any man says. Because men will expire, but God remains the same. Matthew 10. This is Jesus speaking. He says, don't you even imagine that I come to bring peace? I'm like, this is the Prince of Peace. Don't imagine that I've come to bring peace to the earth. I come not to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Your enemies will be right in your own household. I'm like, Jesus, Prince of Peace? And if you choose to follow God, if you choose to live by your convictions of Christ, you will lose people, even intimate relationships. There are people that will say to you, this is how you must conduct your life. If you don't, we are out. If you say, but this is my conviction from God, this is how I get, they walk out of your life. They shame you, they abuse you, they call you all sorts of things. But you must remain in love. You must remain in what? In love. You must continue to love them. You don't have to align with their dictates, but you must continue to love them. Truth divides. Commitment isolates. But love endures. Love endures. Love endures. Except you do it my way or the highway. Is that not my way or the highway? Do it God's way, but continue to love. Because not everyone can go to Gethsemane with you. Only those who can stay awake when it hurts. Not everyone can go to Gethsemane with you. Not everyone. Some people will kiss you goodbye. Some people will say, okay, fine. You mean that you won't be sending that £500 you send every month? Well, bye. They may not say that way, but that's what they have said. The crowd loves the miracles. And you know, many times in a lot of our lives, we are surrounded with the crowd. Praise the name of the Lord. The crowd loves miracles, but disciples love the man. I love that man of Galilee.
For he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins and sent the Holy Ghost to me. I love the man of Galilee. Of Galilee.
When everything is reduced and you can't see the miracles that is as it were, you've knocked. It's as if the doors are not opening. People are ridiculing you. I say, where's your God?
I love that man of Galilee.
You hold on to Jesus.
For he has done so very much for me. He has forgiven me all my sins and sent the Holy Ghost to me. I love the man of Galilee.
Do you know that for several people, the revelation you need to have is the revelation of the appreciation that your sins are forgiven? Some people don't even, it means nothing to them. It means nothing to them. That he sent the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost to you. That's why when he asked Peter, why are you still here? Are you not going to go? What did Peter say? Where do we go? You have the word of what? Of eternal life. You have forgiven
all my sins and sent the Holy Ghost to me. We love that man of Galilee. Of Galilee.
When it's all said and done, when it's all said and done, and it's like, oh, you don't even matter. It appears to people that you should matter to. You have questions you don't even have answers to. But you know that he has
forgiven me all my sins and sent the Holy Ghost to me. We love that man.
The crowd wants the miracles. I love the miracles. But the disciples love the man. Which are you? Which are you? You love the miracles, or you love the miracle worker, the man? What if there are no miracles? What if he didn't answer any other prayers? Do you love him regardless? You know, there was a season in my life that I was trusting God for the fruit of the womb. And for 8 years, I prayed, I rolled on the floor, I wept, I cried, I did everything. And as if everybody I was praying for, boom, they've just got pregnant. If I started running from people that wanted the fruit of the womb, because this one will just come and torment me again. Because you come to my office, I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray, okay, give this person the fruit of the womb. That same month, there are people waiting for God for 6 years, 9 years, 16 years. That same month, they get pregnant. Is that a coincidence? Me, I'm praying, fasting, rolling on the floor, nothing. So one day, I never forget, I said to God, you know what? This matter, if you never give me a child, I want it known before heaven today that I will always serve you. If I'm not good, this is not an issue for me again. Don't worry. Don't give me a child. Let's be going. Since something was saying, hey, but people will be mocking you. Yeah, I said, let them mock me. Do you know some people, we say they are not serving God anymore? That he has not answered that prayer. They dropped their commitment level. I said to God, don't even answer it. I love you. I love you.
Forever. I love you. Forever. I love you.
I love you.
Forever. Lord. I love you forever.
I love you.
He must do a miracle for you to be sustained. Or are you, do you belong to him? That even if he doesn't do you a miracle, you're like, but Jesus, it is me and you now. We I love you. Jesus. We are together. We are not going anywhere. The crowd loves miracles. And he does them. But you need to go beyond that and love the man. You need to love the man. You need to love the man. The reward is worth the price. The reward is worth the price. Romans 8:18. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. There is glory on the other side of the grind, my brother. There is, my sister. Because every surrender, every tear, every yes leads to God's best. Leads to God's best. Leads to God's best. Fifteen or sixteen years before my son was born, God told me, you're going to have a son and this is his name. But 8 years into it, there was nothing. In fact, I was deluded? Maybe he didn't even say, I don't even care. If you don't even give me, I don't want to give. Let me just serve you. But did he make good his word? Yes, he did. And double for that matter. Praise the name of the Lord. It leads to God's best. Knowing him deeply means walking with him eternally. So not only does it lead to God's best here on earth, you walk with God eternally. By the time you transition, you are continuing your walk with God. Enoch walked with God and he was not, because God took him. And that is, will be our story. We will just be walking with God and we'll just walk into eternity. It's beautiful. You know, if we are all thinking, all we are thinking about is this world. Oh, how I will blow. Oh, how I will become a celebrity. The essence will be lost. But when you have the essence, you become all that, and it will mean nothing to you, to God, to you, because God is more than all that. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17 would say to us, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And if you read on to verse 18, it would say that while we look not at the things that we can see, but we look at the things that cannot be seen. Because the things that we can see are what? Temporal. And the things that cannot be seen are eternal. So it means if there's something that God has blessed you with and you can see it, it is temporal. It's temporal. There are things that are eternal that you cannot see. And it is because of those things. That we keep looking forward to and walking with him. And my prayer to you, like Paul at the end of his life, my prayer is that you will say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will be able to say without any fear of contradiction, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race and I have kept the faith. Many times, like we've said, people think that we cannot say it on this side of eternity. Oh, it is only when we get to heaven that we know those that are serving God. No! Paul was alive. He was on earth. And Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He was alive. And I have kept the faith. He was alive. Praise the name of the Lord. There's a place for intimacy. There's a price tag for it. But it is worth paying. When you truly know him, everything you lose becomes gain. Don't Don't worry about what you think you have lost. When you truly know God, everything that you have lost, suffered, will become gain for you in the name of Jesus. Because you truly know Him. Everything that appears to be a setback for you will become promotion for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you truly know Him. Everything that appeared to have kept you limited, you will discover that they've only kept you promoted in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's bow our hearts as we bow our heads.
In your presence, Lord, I seek your face. I seek your face. There is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before the Lord. I'm amazed at your glory.
From the bottom of our hearts,
there is no higher calling, no greater honor than to bow and kneel before your throne.
I'm amazed. As that song just goes on in the background, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. I want us to meditate on the message of today and ask yourself, do you know Him? Do you know Him as you ought to? This shouldn't be for you another Sunday where you have come to church, then you feel good, then you go back. But this should be a call, a knock on the door of your heart. Do you know Him? Not do you know about Jesus, but do you know Him? If you don't, you have the opportunity to get to know Him. And the very first step is to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And to do that, we just need you to raise your hand wherever you are. So if you're here, you know that you don't know Jesus as you ought to, but you want to know Him. From now on, just raise up your hand and we'll pray with you. That God will come into your heart and your life will be transformed. We all that are sitting here, we made that decision at a time in our lives. We're giving you the opportunity today. Do you know Him? If you don't, just raise up your hand. If you don't and you want to know Him, just raise up your hand. If you're online, the instructions are also scrolling.
Before your throne, I'm amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercy.
I see the hand in that corner there. Anybody else, if you want to accept Jesus into your life, just raise up your hand wherever you are. There's nothing to be ashamed of. Everyone here has made that decision at the time or the other. Today is your time because God has said, this is the day that He has made. Today is your day of salvation. Don't let it go past you. Take advantage. Raise up your hand wherever you are and we'll pray together.
Lord, I'm amazed at your glory, embraced by your mercy, oh Lord, I live to worship.
you're there or you're online, you want to give your life to Christ, I just want you to pray this prayer after me and say, Father, I come before you today. I acknowledge that you are my God. I acknowledge that you died for me. I believe in you, and I confess with my mouth that you are my God. From today onwards, I want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want to live for you. Help me. Hold my hands. Don't let go of me. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, these things that I've struggled with up until now, Father, take them away from me. Let my walk with you, let it be closer and closer. In the mighty name of Jesus. And so shall it be. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Father, and I want to just thank God for everyone that has heard this message today. I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will touch our hearts genuinely. We will know you as we ought to know you. We will not know you from a distance. But Lord, we will draw closer and closer to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Our lives will be transformed. Your name will be glorified. Honor and glory we give to you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, that was an amazing, amazing teaching. Let's put our hands together for the Lord, for the Lord, for the Lord.